watch begins. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Watchtower. It is I, Thomas Avante, joined here with my guard at post, Noah Moyer.
What's going on, everybody?
That's all I got to say.
I made a face. We're workshopping it. We'll see what happens.
We're getting t-shirts.
Yeah, buy our clothes.
Fake plastic bags.
Perfect gift for the holidays.
You know what's a perfect gift for the holidays? 20th Century Fox. All it's going to set you back is $45 billion, pal. So, in case you haven't heard the news...
I can't even think about that amount of money.
Disney, once again, proving that conglomerates are on the rise. Has bought 20th Century Fox, one of the oldest companies in terms of entertainment in the goddamn world. They, in case you don't know, the movie franchises, the TV properties, like, and honestly, we all know why Disney bought it. They wanted Always Sunny in Philadelphia. They needed
the only reason.
The only reason they got it. And, like, I don't blame them. Like,
I mean, you think about, like, them. Something that I just thought of is they want to start, like, a new... I know they've been talking about wanting to start their own streaming service.
Well, do you see what they did right after they bought 20th Century Fox?
What?
They bought another 30% in Hulu. They are now the majority share owner of Hulu. They own 60% of it.
So maybe they're just going to take over Hulu.
Well, here's what people are thinking. They think Disney's going to start making packages. And so on Hulu, you can buy the Marvel package for $5. Get every Marvel movie, all the TV shows, all that good jazz. It's an interesting topic.
Yeah, it is interesting. But now no one wants to use cable anymore.
Well, Disney owns so much that they can... How many packages can they make? That's what I'm starting to think about. And they're taking their stuff off Netflix in 2019.
Yeah, I saw that piece. Like, originally, didn't they sign a deal with Netflix? They said they're going to release their stuff on there?
So them and Netflix were chummy.
Yeah.
And then about 2015... There started to be a real shift in Disney to try to make their own imprint on streaming. After when they kind of, I think, realized the death of... And you gotta remember, this is also a company that owns Disney Channel, Freeform, a bunch of networks as well. Yeah. What I think they're gonna keep, on a quick side note, what I think they're gonna keep with Fox is essentially everything they don't have. So Fox News and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The things they don't already own an entity of. Everything else they'll absorb in some way. They'll probably keep the 20th Century Fox name around in case they want to release, like, a rated R movie and they want to use the title. And it's a recognizable brand at the end of the day. There's a lot to be said about that.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of, like, what this buying, I don't know if I've ever seen such a... Like, I remember this was teased, I want to say, sometime last year. I can't remember. But I remember them talking about it. And a big part of it was people were like, X-Men. And, like, X-Men's a nice pickup for superhero stuff. But in terms of everything they just acquired, it's massive.
Yeah.
Like, The Simpsons is now theirs.
Yeah, that's
Futurama's
like...
Futurama's now theirs.
Which is
Matt
crazy
Groening's
to think
life.
Of something that big. Like the Disney owns all of literally everything now.
They don't own literally everything.
Well, not literally everything, but they own a fuck ton.
If they bought Paramount and they bought... Well, no, if they bought Warner Brothers, they own everything.
Yeah.
They legitimately own everything. But luckily, it seems... I don't want to... Okay. I'm starting to get nervous because at a certain point, I don't want to say this acquiring makes Disney a monopoly, but goddamn are they close. Because at this point, the movie industry, this entire entertainment industry of America is an oligopoly of some sort.
Yeah, like,
there's only a few major players involved.
Who's looking the other way when they see things like this happening? You know what I mean? They're like,
who's ever in charge of Trustbuster?
I know, but still, but like, they're like, in a way, they're like, they gotta be, like, they have to know more than we do that this shit is getting a little bit out of control.
You
know what I mean?
At a certain point, it's a matter of they do know what's happening.
But do they do anything?
They don't.
Yeah, I know.
Because at the end of the day, they support this in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
I just allowing
it to happen.
That's
what I think too, yeah.
But, you know, it's very interesting. It really is, because what it means for a lot of their properties as well, like, does this mean... Like, I thought what would be funny is if they now, once again, Star Wars movies come out, and now they come out with the 20th Century Fox logo again.
Man, yeah.
Instead
oh,
of...
Shit.
And we, now when those start, we get that...
That'd be insane.
They now own Avatar, which... But by the way, people need to realize that 20th Century Fox and Disney were getting really chummy with one another before this happened. I don't know if you know this, but in Disney World's Animal Kingdom, they were building Avatar World, and it's now officially open.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Huh.
And so that's, you know, so there's obviously, there were some signs that this was actually not just only a possibility, that this was really going to happen.
Yeah.
So I wasn't surprised at the news, but I don't really think there's ever been an acquisition this huge, $45
billion.
That's
a lot.
They bought Lucasfilm for $4 billion?
That's it?
You buy Star Wars, Indiana Jones, what else do you get?
Well, but, like, those are still fucking huge.
That just shows you how much you get with 20th Century Fox in terms of television, movies, and even other realms of entertainment.
Was Lord of the Rings?
Lord of the Rings is Warner Brothers.
Okay.
Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings are Warner Brothers.
Got it, okay.
So if they buy Warner Brothers, they also get DC.
Oh, shit.
They would get those three things.
That's insane.
They would own everything. But I don't see it happening for a number of reasons. Primarily, at that point, I think Disney runs the risk of actually being looked at as a monopoly. I feel like it's a bad thing.
Well, like even if you think about, like, I was always half and half of when Disney acquired Lucasfilm, because it was like, well, they get a shit ton of money now and a lot to work with, mm-hmm. but it may compromise some of the creative vision. You know what I mean? That was originally with the series. So, like, but they have so much now. Where does that? How much do you think they're breathing down people's necks about what creatively of what needs to be done?
Disney's always been an interesting case of what they allow and what they don't allow creatively. They are known, in some cases, to put a lot of trust in a director.
Yeah.
I have a recent example in mind, but I really don't want to go too deep into that. But there's a number of cases where, like, film projects, TV projects, and even other Disney-related projects, in terms of even theme parks and stuff, they really got behind the vision of an individual.
Yeah.
That's not always the case. Sometimes Disney goes full-on corporate suit on your ass. It just depends. It really depends on... I think they understand the idea of a value of artistic vision, but they definitely have an agenda with almost everything they have to make. So with that in mind, though, it's obviously, in terms of video games, what is there, like, there's a lot of IPs Disney has acquired.
And, 100%.
That's the real big part here, and that's the effect it has on the gaming industry, really. It'd be cool to see a new X-Men game, though.
That would be, like, to actually get a good X-Men game.
I know, right?
That'd be really cool.
Who can make a good X-Men game? If Disney was like, we gave the rights to them, publisher, think of a developer.
Someone who came first to my mind but is really sad is Visceral. Yeah, right? I think Visceral could have made a really good, like, dark, like, story-oriented kind of one.
You know, I've always wanted to make a superhero game, personally.
Who?
I've always wanted to see Naughty Dog give it a shot.
That'd be really interesting, but, like, I wouldn't want them to use an existing superhero. I would want them to create their own.
That's a very good idea.
I would have, I think about that, I want to do something completely original, that's something like, you know how, like, when they made Hancock? It was just this out-of-the-blue superhero thing? Blue. Something like that, not like Hancock specifically, but something, like, in the vein of it's
just
like...
You don't want Will,
like,
Smith in a beanie?
I mean... I'll take Will Smith any day, every day. And that's probably why I'm going to watch his movie on Netflix, just because he's
comes
in
out
it.
Soon, don't it? 22nd.
Might actually. Oh, 22nd? I was going to say. Okay, yeah. I might watch
it. I saw a trailer at the movie.
Only for Will Smith, but that's it.
Joel Edgerton's in that, too.
That's true, yeah.
It's an interesting looking movie. I'll definitely do it. It's on Netflix.
Exactly.
Like, I have Netflix.
Yeah, I don't have an excuse if I'm not doing
it. It won't hurt me to watch. Unless it's shit. Like, unless I watch the first 30 minutes and I'm like, I can't.
No thanks, yeah. It's either I'm watching hours of Giant Bomb or hours of Netflix.
They put a lot of money into that movie soundtrack, too. I don't know if you noticed that. Yeah.
Huh. Well, I do enjoy myself some movie soundtracks, so maybe I actually
You know
what
a good movie soundtrack? I've been listening to a lot. Baby Drivers. Because there's that Run the Jewels Big Boy song.
Oh, my God, dude. When I watched that movie for the first time, I was instantly, like, in love with it. Like, just because of... Like, anything for, like, as far as movies or games or something, like, I'd say, like, the number one or number two is usually music for me. Like, it's huge. Like, it makes or breaks stuff for me.
I agree.
You know? Like, it that's why, like, that's probably why I like things like Star Wars and Lord of the Rings so much.
But let's talk about in terms of, because that's a movie where it's not a matter of score, it's a matter of soundtrack. They killed it with soundtrack.
Yeah, exactly.
It's odd in video games, because unless you're talking about Grand Theft Auto or Saints Row, those games with stations, like radio stations in them. There tends to not be a use of, like, popular music in games.
Yeah.
Not always.
I know what you
Some
mean,
games do it, and they do it great. Like, I think two of my favorite examples is Borderlands.
Yeah.
Borderlands 1, even though it's not permeates throughout the game, that opening cinematic where
it's really
the
rest good,
of the Wicked plays, you're like, oh, shit, we about to get into something. Mm-hmm. And even in the second one where they play that song by The Heavy, I can't remember the name, Short Change Hero.
Yeah.
That was awesome, too.
Yeah.
But I think actually one of my favorite examples of a use of, and it happens throughout the game, and it's in, like, really nice moments, nice subtle stuff, is The Darkness 2. Occasionally, they'd play a song in it, and it actually really line up well with the game.
Something I just thought of was, you remember the moment when you're crossing into Mexico in Red Dead?
That's another that plays, amazing yeah. example.
Really, really good moment.
That, I think that was originally made for this game, too. I think like so, to too.
Yeah.
More of that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Artists to make.
Here's hoping they do something like that in Red Dead 2.
I think.
Which, by the way, holy fuck, dude.
Holy fuck, indeed. That game is just out of this world excitement. I really feel every year, not every year, honestly, some years there aren't games like this, but Red Dead 2, it's one of those titles where you're just, yeah, I feel like you just gotta keep your eye on it.
Like, yeah, it's well, just like, something with me, my original, like, probably my favorite Rockstar game is...
We're looking at it right
Yeah,
now.
We're literally looking at the case.
The Red case Dead, is right in front of us.
Red Dead is probably my favorite Rockstar game.
Next to Modern Warfare 2.
Well, dude, Modern Warfare 2, Red Dead, and, like, Halo 3 were, like, the games I played back in the day. Like, that was the Holy Trinity
You didn't need much beyond that.
No.
Remember
when games were, like, just, you know, cut and dry?
Used to be a simpler time in our lives where it's, like, I don't know, I feel like our ambition as gamers took off, too, but, like, there was once a time where, like, you could have, like, two games and who gave a fuck.
Exactly,
But now it's just, like, if you pay too close attention, you get too excited and then you just want them.
Yeah, but that's my problem. That's why I have fucking, like, 420 games on Steam.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, hey. What a library it is.
Exactly. Hey, it's for if Steam just goes away one day, who knows?
So, another thing I want to talk about real quick, a little quick side note, is PUBG. Officially, 1.0 comes out tomorrow?
The 1.0 on PC comes out tomorrow, the 20th of December, yes.
And that, like, what are you expecting? Like, are you expecting anything?
I'm not really expecting a lot, because I've been playing so exclusively since the... Well, as soon as they announced at the Game Awards that the desert map will be playable, like, the next morning, me and my friends have exclusively been playing on the test server since then. The only thing that's going to happen is just, like, the menu, for the main game, menus are going to change, some sounds are going to change. They're just, like, making the test server the main game, but more, I'm hoping more stable, because sometimes in the test server, I do, like, as soon as we load into a game, you'll crash out and you have to rejoin.
Did you feel the UI, like, I honestly, I look at the game, I don't think it, like, has a terrible UI or anything, but do you feel like it could keep making it better?
Absolutely, but, like, I think it's improved a lot over what
tremendously,
it was.
Oh, tremendously,
And, like, one of the best changes they made was actually, I thought, to the compass. Well, two things. To the compass, where it actually, when you're turning, it actually shows you the individual reading of the compass instead of just you kind of having to guess where the numbers were. And then the colored icons you can place on the map, and your teammates can, so you can differentiate who it is.
I felt like that was the real thing, was as the UI got better, it was not in terms of, like, I feel like everything got a bit of a facelift, but it was more team-friendly.
It made
team playing easier.
Yeah, it made information a lot more easy to, you know, discern from what you're actually trying to, like, communicate through this information. It made it a lot easier to do that to your teammates or just with yourself. But I don't really expect a lot to happen. I just expect it to be the main game right now. Because it's just going to be the test server.
All right, quick side point, my friend. I'm gonna take it from 1.0 to PUBG Trash, a.k.a. PUBG Xbox One. So, ladies and gentlemen, right before the terrible curse known as Finals Week started, PUBG came out on Xbox. I bought it. I have not played it yet, primarily for two reasons. One, I got busy. And then two, I heard it wasn't exactly worth playing for a while. So I wasn't super ambitious on playing it. And another real reason, too, was I got real hooked on Stardew Valley again. But the first patch has come out, and apparently all they're really trying to really look at right now is kind of the game's overall, like...
Just performance. Yeah.
It's kind of a... Kind to make... textures, not improve them, but not make them fucking look like complete shit, and not make them, like, look fucking like, what's going on over there?
They're gonna make it look like you're not looking at Play-Doh the whole game, pretty much. But,
and
like,
also,
I think
frame rate, I hope they're trying to improve on, because that's... Frame rate, in terms of... My two biggest complaints when I look at it now, because I saw a bit of it on YouTube the other day, my two biggest complaints are primarily frame rate and draw distance.
Yeah.
Are just
so
shit.
They're terrible. It's like... It's almost impressive that they allowed it to come to Game Preview when the game gets sub 20 frames per second, and that just, like, allowing it.
It's quite the preview.
It is. Well, yeah.
That's why.
It's a slideshow, pretty much.
Microsoft is lucky that they put that damn term preview with
this
game. Yeah,
holy shit.
They are lucky they did not pawn this off.
But even then,
release.
It's crazy.
That's the thing, though. You have to give them credit in the fact that Xbox Game Preview is legitimately, and you know, you could see that with Conan when that game came out. These are unfinished games.
But yeah, Conan, like,
that are on Xbox.
I think Conan's a different thing.
Well, here's a big difference.
Conan's one of those stupid, like, survival games that are never going to actually hit 1.0.
The difference between PUBG and Conan is exactly that. It's a dumb game like this, and PUBG has the overall support of the Microsoft giant.
Yeah. Absolutely, and how big it is too. Like,
yeah,
literally became like this year.
Yeah, like, it hasn't even been out for a calendar year, has it?
It's no
March. I thought.
No March. Yeah, it's March. Yeah.
So it's only been 9 months in the grand scheme of things, which is just crazy to think about.
Yeah, it took over this year by storm, pretty much. Yeah.
But that's kind of our big news right now. Both games are getting kind of a bit of a facelift. The PC version's honestly good to go. I would honestly highly recommend it as purchase.
I still can't play
If you don't have a PC,
can't stop
and you want to give it a try, I don't think the Xbox One's a terrible get at the moment, considering I think Xbox does a really good job with game preview games.
What I would argue at the moment is don't buy the Xbox One S version right now, or just the Xbox One version in general. Find a friend who has a PC and play it on it. And discern it from there. Wait until it improves. Do not give them money until this game improves. That's just like what I think should happen.
I don't think the game's. It's not full 60 on Xbox though.
No. Well, that's what they wanted to hit, and that's what he's saying in interviews where it was going to be.
Yeah. So I would recommend getting it now, so it's cheap.
Well, it's still gonna. Well, no. It's gonna stay $30.
Unless it goes to full 60.
Well, it's not because even on PC when it hits 1.0, it's staying 30.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Eventually, prices can change.
I don't think it's going to go up. There'd be too much backlash.
All I'm saying is Microsoft can be a little greedy.
They can.
And they own
PUBG. I think they're in a position to be greedy at this point, so I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay, that's a very good point.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get on to a bit of next news. This is a bit for me. A little game coming out in January that I'm very excited for, along with another game called Monster Hunter that's also having a beta soon, but this game, Dragon Ball FighterZ. Listen, if you don't even like Dragon Ball, I'm going to recommend you give this a try. The beta starts for everyone January 14th at 3 a.m., and it's going to go till January 16th till 3 a.m. that day. So you have essentially a two-day time period. But if you pre-order the game, you get it a day early, so you get to start from the 13th to the 16th. The game had an open beta preview, private beta preview already, and it just looked, I didn't get to even play it, but it just looked spectacular.
Yeah,
Everything everyone said is incredibly positive.
Fortunately, I actually had the opportunity to play it Tom, you know I'm not huge into Dragon Ball, but I did, like, I ended up watching, just tagging along watching Kai with you guys, and mm-hmm. I was like, dude, this is pretty cool. And playing this game, it's like I feel like it's a genuinely good fighter, and even if you don't like fighters that much, the art style is killer.
It's
like,
so
it looks
visually impressive.
Its presentation
is
fucking awesome.
I've never seen a fighter look this good. Like, I think, well, that's a lie. Street Fighter is probably the only one I'd say is. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite for me I really don't like that art design.
Yeah.
I don't think Injustice has
that,
the best art design. Mortal Kombat X is a good-looking fighting game. I think that
looks very
awesome.
Pretty, yeah.
But this really, especially as a Dragon Ball
fan. It's because of all the cell shading and how they really made
so
it look
perfect.
Like the show. It's really great. Yeah.
My favorite Dragon Ball game, and it might even be my own favorite fighting games of all time, is Dragon Ball Z Budokai 3. And what that game has going for it over a lot of, especially those PS2 Dragon Ball games, is its cell shading. It looks mm-hmm. really good for a PS2 game because it's just that stuff. It's kind of Borderlands-esque cell shading. Where it kind of looks, I don't want to say cartoonish, but it's like, it's kind of obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But I got another little bit of news for you. Do you know Cuphead?
I heard of it.
Do you know the Apple App Store?
I've heard of it.
You know where Cuphead was for a hot day?
Google Play.
The Apple App Store. Oh. So for $5, and if you were looking at it on, I believe, December 18th was its release date, Cuphead was released on the iOS store. Somebody made a unlicensed, so this was illegal, and they had a bit of a history of doing this already. They made an illegal port of Gang Beasts for the iOS, but they made an illegal iOS version of Cuphead, and apparently, according to anyone who played it, it crashed. The title screen looked like it was having a stroke, and
why not something that I don't get? So, like, if this, the people who were titled with making this, you know, scam port to the iOS store.
Yeah.
and they were the same people that did it for Gang Beasts, why did Apple allow them on the store again?
So that's the thing. A lot of people are like, how did this happen? Like, how could Apple have... Especially kidding, it didn't come from the original developer. Microsoft wasn't at all a part of the publishing of it. And even beyond that a little, on another realm, like, it wasn't even being publicized. Like, we didn't hear a word about an iOS port.
Yeah.
How did it get approved? A lot of people, including myself, just think the people who are in charge of the App Store aren't exactly gaming market people.
Well, not even that, but, like, I think you kind of have to be an idiot to see something like... We're looking at an image where, basically...
I didn't get anything.
It's artifacted, and seeing something like that, there has to be some kind of quality check, right?
Getting on the iOS store isn't like getting on a Nintendo console. There's no Nintendo seal.
No, I know, but I'm saying there has to be some kind of quality control there, right?
I think the biggest quality control is probably, like, do the buttons work? And, like, even if you see this terrible title screen, but, like, hey, Cup Guy moves.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I definitely think Apple has to take a little bit of responsibility.
They have to take complete response. They can't let this stuff happen. It's just, I'm not surprised by it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not surprised by it either, but I just can't believe Apple would, I don't know, be this blind to something like that. it's crazy.
This is Apple, too. Like, they have to realize at some point the App Store is a real, like, it's not even just in terms of, like, it's one of the biggest places to release a game. Like,
it really
the
is,
amount of
yeah.
people you can really get there.
Yeah, because it's like, a lot of the times when I try out new apps and stuff like that, I'll usually just look at the front page and be like, hey, this is app of the week, free app of the week, or this is one of awards or something, and I'll try it.
So I got another quick bit of news. I'm full of the news today, but I got another big one. Are you familiar with a masterpiece of the game called Mount Your Friends?
I am.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you are also familiar, I have fantastic news. Mount Your Friends 3D, the sequel, is coming out. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Did you want well-endowed, muscular men in fucking thongs climbing each other? Now in 3D visuals? No more 2D. Do you want to grab that goat and start tackling to the top and show your friend who really means business when it comes to climbing to that sky? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And you might be saying, Tom, you sound like a really big fan of this game. Mount Your Friends, if you've never played it, even though it sounds fucking crazy.
It's hilarious.
It's hilarious, but it's an amazing game. Like,
yeah, it's like...
It's a super addictive, amazing... Especially if you play it co-op.
In the vein of, like, things like Gang Beasts or Stick Fighter or these, like, you know, Super Narwhal or Space Narwhal, Duck Game. Like, those kind of games is, like, the perfect fucking game to play with.
I mean, it's so much fun.
Your friends. It's crazy. It's like, yeah, check it out. It comes out 2018 sometime.
Yeah, apparently it's not too far off.
No.
It's coming out, they're saying early, whatever that means. But I'm interested. I really am.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it looks cool, dude. It's like, I love playing, like, party games with people.
You know what else is coming? You know, I know we were talking a little earlier about PUBG coming to Xbox, but another quick side note, you know what also is coming?
What?
Kerbal Space Program.
I saw that. No, like, I played a lot of Kerbal Space Program on PC. It's actually one of my favorite indie games that I've ever played. The only concern I have is, like, it seems like it has another case of what PUBG has. It's a game that's...
Oh, I'm going to be honest with you. Well, I don't think this is a good idea.
Yeah, well, like, it seems like it's meant for PC. How are they going to translate the controls and
how? It does, like...
Because I'm using, like, 8 keys at once on my keyboard.
You're building...
You know?
Just the idea of building a rocket ship on Xbox sounds fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even in terms of... It's just a matter of controller. Like, Kerbal Space Program is a game that is meant, in my mind... And not even meant. It's required to be played mouse and keyboard.
Yeah.
How do you
controller? Because, like, I think about, like, all the things I'm pressing for, like, you know... assisting my exit onto the atmosphere, or like making sure I'm stabilized, and then the staging, everything, like, seems like that's going to be really hard to do on a controller. Like, and I don't know how they're going to do it. And I hope they pull it off, because I think it's a game more people should play, because it's really complex and it's really cool.
That's what sucks. Is I just
but
don't think
I don't
is,
think
that,
I don't think it's
going to
happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. Unfortunately,
how about you? Got any news for me? You seem
I don't
like
know.
You got
I watched
some sad news.
I mean, I watched. Some Far Cry 5 gameplay. And what'd you think? We were talking, I think, in one of the first episodes.
We've talked, I think Far Cry 5 has come up almost every episode.
Really, yeah.
It is because something I feel like we both have a bit of an... Because I feel like we're both in the same boat. We really want this game. I feel like I'm expecting it to be better than you are, but we both want it to be awesome.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem like it's going to
fulfill that. I don't think it's going to be good.
And what's funny is as time goes on, I get less hopeful.
Yeah, because like I was saying originally, I think I said, I was hoping for like a really dark... You know, like down, like very real
something
story
that
about
handled its themes in the same vein, level of seriousness as Wolfenstein, I would say.
Yeah, where like that would be fucking like unbelievably awesome, but like it just seems like it's gonna be kind of stupid. Like
I can't help but agree. It's starting to get to that point where even the main, even like the drawn the main antagonist guy, the Vaz of this game,
yeah,
seems like he's starting to become muddled as hell.
Yeah.
But the gameplay I didn't think looked terrible.
It looked all right. It just looked like Far Cry 3 and 4.
It looked like more Far Cry with more. It looked like Far Cry with more weapons and some more vehicles.
Yeah. Oh, actually, on the topic of Ubisoft, I actually just thought of something I want to bring up before I forget it.
Yeah.
Guess what they're adding to Wildlands for a short period of time.
I feel like I've seen something about this.
They're adding the fucking Predator.
Yes. Yeah. The Predator's gonna be in it.
So like.
You gotta look for that telltale sign, people.
I forget what podcast I was listening to, but oh no, actually, I think I saw it on Twitter.
Is that enough to get interested again?
Absolutely.
It's the fucking Predator.
But it's only for a few days. But they have a free trial, so I'm gonna play the free trial during that. Yeah. But like me and Rob played that game in beta, and we had so much fucking fun.
Damn.
Like it's a really good. It's not a good game, but it's a good co-op game. You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying.
I had a lot of fun playing that.
Yeah, there's a lot of games where, like, the moment you just add a friend, you can tell that the game was designed for it.
Yeah.
And I definitely, when I saw Wildlands, especially even at the original Ubisoft, at the super pre-done game demo, I thought, when I watched it, I was like, this is something that's meant to be played. Like, it felt like a Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes, Phantom Pains kind of deal, kind of game where it's like this open world with like some of these occasional level designs.
Not on the same level, but I get what you're saying.
No, not on the same level at all. But that's why it requires co-op.
Yeah.
That's how I felt about it.
Yeah. It's... I don't know, man. That's a really cool thing about the Ending Predator. But what I was saying, like, I think I saw a tweet somewhere, like, what if they just shadow released the Predator into the game? And they're like, people are like, dude, I fucking swear I saw the Predator. And everyone's like, what the fuck are you talking about,
that
dude?
That would have been
imagine that, how cool that would be if you just fucking encountered the Predator. That would generate such soft press for that game versus just announcing it. You know what I mean?
You're making
me
think
cool that would be?
That would be, that's a brilliant marketing scheme, dude.
Yeah.
Honestly, that'd be, can you just imagine word of mouth? Like,
exactly, how,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, but people are like just playing Wildlands, and like the people, those poor souls who play Wildlands today.
Yeah.
And they're like, we just got killed by the Predator.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing. Is the Predator going to be a player?
They're seeing, like, skin bodies.
No,
I think you hunt the Predator. Yeah, it's kind of cool, right?
But what but if... Like, I hope he's not easy to kill.
I'm hoping not either.
I hope he's impossible.
It's such a cool, like...
frustratingly hard.
Weird idea that they're doing with that game. And I hope...
You
but the thing is that Ubisoft, like, is really has turned their like, public image in the past few years. Like, big time.
You know who owns Predator?
Who?
20th Century Fox. You know who owns 20th Century Fox?
Disney.
We just came full circle.
Oh,
Wildlands.
Shit.
Oh, but I got some more sad news, and I'm going to drop it on you here. Are you familiar with Star Citizen?
I may or may not have put money into that game.
All right. Well, hey, you might want to talk about refunds, because apparently it's a thing. So, Star Citizen, there's two parts of this story. We're going to go to the first one. I'm not too familiar on this one, so we'll cover it briefly.
Yeah.
Essentially, a player who had donated more than even the amount of money he wants, donated thousands on thousands of dollars, and apparently he says a lot of it did not come through in the way he intended, and that now with the game looking like it's going to be delayed even longer...
He wants a refund
of and this is $25,000 is a refund? That is not... the entirety of the money he's put in.
Really?
But that is the money. And according to his lawsuit, I read up on this a little on Polygon, but according to, I want to say at the time, it seemed to me that his lawsuit was pretty tight, like on what he was asking back for. So
I wouldn't be surprised. Like,
but
I really
let's get into a bit of a bigger one. So this one's kind of could hurt the game. This could stop the game from coming out. So Star Citizen, when it was originally coming out, was using CryEngine 3.
Or Crytek technology.
Oh, Crytek technology.
Yeah.
But using a CryEngine of sorts. Yeah. CryEngine is great. I think it's one of the best engines. Like, I think it looks awesome. When Crytek...
It may not run well all the time, but it does look good.
When Crytek uses it, you think, like, it's the greatest engine ever. Like, when I remember playing Crysis 2 on that, and just being... But being like, oh my
blown away,
god.
Yeah.
I was, especially on the 360, stunned. And I thought Crysis 3 was just...
Yeah, playing that on the... When I first bought my PC, I played that,
put it on max settings.
Yeah, exactly,
It looks even better. And that's... And it did not look bad on the 360. No, right? It looked damn good.
Yeah.
So they're using... They were using CryEngine. But eventually they decided to... Not only... They did two big things. One, they changed engines. They decided to use... an engine Amazon sold. I'm not familiar with its name.
It's a cloud technology.
Engine. And so they decided to switch to that engine, ending their contract with Crytek. And they decided to turn it into two games. One is called Squadron 42, and the other is Star Citizen?
Yeah, Star Citizen Persistent Universe.
Yes,
this is like the multiplayer aspect.
And Squadron 42 is the single-player aspect. A lot of people... I was questioning why they were doing it. I thought maybe the single player one was maybe trying to be catered even maybe towards a little bit of a console release of some sort.
Maybe, yeah.
That was my
mentality. I don't know how they would get that to run on a console because you can't really run on a PC right now.
Well, I think they'd be aiming for more like the 4K, Xbox One X, PS4 Pro.
Who's hoping, yeah.
I think. I honestly, if they didn't, don't buy it. Like, that game's too much to play on a regular Xbox One or PS4. But I don't even know if the PS4 Pro can do it. I think the Xbox One X could. Make it happen.
Maybe.
If
one of them could, yeah.
Because we were talking about that, about how the Xbox One X is probably being sold at a loss, given the specs it has in it. And it's being sold for $500.
I think it's an impressive amount of technology they packed into that for $500. I'll give them that.
So I think it could probably do it. If they did a single player one. I don't think it could do the multiplayer one.
No, absolutely.
But I definitely think it could do the single player one. And on those grounds, so here's where things got tricky. So Crytek was looking at the game and with recent footage and was like, hey, this looks a lot like the CryEngine. Like, and they pointed to specific moments in it that really could show details of it that made it really seem like it was CryEngine. Now, here's where things get really confusing, and this is where Star Citizen and its developer,
It's Robert Space Industries Cloud Imperium Games.
Yeah, okay, thank you. They might be in some trouble.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. The Amazon, Amazon's Lumberyard, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
They uses CryEngine.
Yeah.
It's an offshoot of the
CryEngine.
They're
trying to move off of it, though.
Yes.
But it's still,
So a lot of people think is they might have ported over code from the CryEngine. See, I'm no developer, so how easy this is or how possible this is, but it doesn't seem too far-fetched if Amazon's engine is the same, using as an offshoot of it.
Well, one of the main gripes that they're saying here, quoted in the articles, is it says the lawsuit goes on to say that CIG, which is Cloud Imperium Games, and RSI, Robert Space Industries, improperly removed the CryEngine logo when the game boots up.
Yeah.
And that the team failed to properly disclose modifications to CryEngine 3 as a part of their licensing agreement. So what seems to me, just by reading parts of this article, is that they are still using the technology, but they're not disclosing that they are using the technology.
That's the problem, is they're not giving Crytek its credit. And the thing is, if they gave Crytek its credit, they'd have to continue to pay Crytek its royalties. So that's why
they're trying to hide it.
They're trying to hide it. And a big part of this, too, is the issue is, if they're using that Crytek engine code and they ported that over to Amazon and they're just using it like that, then they could be in some shit. Like, this this is not looking good for them, at least from my perspective on what I understand of these kind of legal dealings, especially with the creative properties that are game engines. Like, I remember sometimes Unreal would sue over this when people would use the Unreal engine
see that too,
and not use that. But you know what? You have to, because these engines are how a lot of these development companies make their money. Like, at the end of the day, that's how Epic made a lot of their money for a while.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing to see something with that amount of money behind it, and it took a step, it misstepped this big. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of, well, think
because as someone,
think about it this way, I'm very concerned because also, like, with the minimal amount of money I put in this game,
that's my
thing. I still am worried about what's going to happen to this game. This is something I've been looking forward to for years, right?
The reason I want this game to come out is I would feel terrible for the people, because it's a crowdfunding game. I'd feel terrible for those donors.
Well, think about the amount of money this thing is crowdfunded.
That's the crazy part, is it did its goal. It created a multi-million dollar budget off of crowdfunding. Like, a real multi-million dollar budget. Not just, like, $4 million. Like,
yeah,
I look to date real quick how much it's crowdfunded. Yeah, I want to say it's near 20.
No, I think it's well over that. I think it's like 40s.
Oh shit! Even 20 is impressive on Kickstarter, and like that just shows you.
No, I think they're like, I'm not sure. I don't.
But trying to just give you this idea, it's that's really why it would be terrible if this. If this really...
Ugh. Oh my god, $173 million.
Oh.
So we're way off. But
there's 2 million Star Citizens already.
Yeah, so, like, my main problem with it, like, they're obviously going for something huge there, like, in scope, but the amount of time that it's even taking to get to the game to run okay...
This has been in the works since 2012. No, that's not even true. The game was announced, like, you could start funding it in 2012,
I think. Maybe even sooner...
No, I want to say funding. But that's 5 years.
They had to switch engines.
Think
about the amount of assets they have to just like scrap in that amount of time because it just starts to get over.
I don't want to say they're being reckless with the money to some extent, but it does seem like they are not doing everything they're definitely not watching their asses on a lot of this stuff.
Definitely not.
And that's really disheartening for a company that's being entrusted money by fans, like some publisher. Because, you know, if it was a publisher, they wouldn't do this. Because if a publisher did it, they'd can the studio.
Yeah.
But we can't. But these crowdfunding people, they can't can the studio. The studio gets to go back at them and be like, F you, we have your cash.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a real issue for me on this situation.
But I don't think it's even going Kickstarter anymore. It's just through their website.
Just through their website now. They don't even do it through Kickstarter.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
God. Let's get off the news. This has been a somewhat depressing round of
some highs. Yeah, there's been a lot of
there's been some highs and some lows.
Some highs and a lot of lows. It seems like.
What have you been playing, my man?
I've been playing. What have I been playing? I've been playing some PUBG. I mean, what else is new there? I've been playing some more Hitman because I really, really love Hitman.
That new map.
I mean, it's really good. Oh, and PUBG. Yeah,
Paris, France.
Oh, no. What are you talking about?
Oh, I thought the new Hitman map was in Paris, France.
No, that's still... That was one of the old maps.
Damn.
But
I'm being foolish.
It's... I played with my siblings, because I'm home. We're both home for break right now. About 3 hours of Ultimate Stick Fighter. That game is fucking hilarious. Me and Tom... I'm gonna see if me and Tom and maybe some other people play it after this podcast, because, like, that much... It's in the vein of, like, Gang Beasts and stuff like that. Like, really, really fucking fun party game. I've been playing some World of Warcraft.
Oh, damn!
So, because it's a very relaxing game.
Are you getting back in before the expansion comes out?
The expansion comes out sometime before the summer next year, I believe.
I thought it was coming out in next year's spring.
I think so, yeah. But I'm basically just starting a new character, and then once Christmas comes around, I'm gonna buy Legion, the new expansion, and I'm gonna continue to play from there, just to get ready for the new expansion. Because a couple of my friends started playing it pretty regularly again. And after playing it, it's relaxing. It's nice to have something up on my second monitor, like Netflix or YouTube. And WoW has always been like a great thing like that for me, unless we're like specifically all teaming up to do a raid or something. WoW is just a good game, dude. Still is. How about you? What have you been playing?
Well, right now I've been a little busy ever since I've returned home here. I've been working a lot, but I've been trying to find the time during finals week. I found a lot of time to play Stardew Valley,
mm-hmm.
and I got really back into that. And I got through my first year. Well, actually, that's a lie. I'm on like day 25 of winter, so I have 3 days before I get to year two. It took me 30 hours to get there.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, and like. I'm ready to put, like, another 2 years in. I'm playing the field hard, as they say. I'm trying to get a wife character was my first goal. I have, like, four different suitors all at, like, near maxed heart. I just haven't chosen one yet because I'm waiting to do all that. There's this one character who, like, this pissed me off beyond belief. Her name is Leah, and I finally got to 6 stars with her, and I got to 8 stars with her. And I was like, where's my 6-star cutscene? So in case you don't – I mean 6-heart. And in case you don't have any 2-heart intervals, you get a cutscene and it shows you the progression of your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to get those cutscenes to get to the romantic level.
Yeah.
And I found out, because I looked it up on the wiki to be like, where is this? Because I was literally just so pissed. Because I was like, where's the 6-heart one? I'm at 8 hearts. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
it was like, you can't get it in winter. You can't do it in winter. Oh. Any other season. So now I'm just trying to get through these last 3 days, talk to this girl, have an art show, and we'll see what happens. But I'm excited because, like, you can raise a family in the game, and, like, I can even tell where my farm... I don't even have a lot going on. I have a coop and a barn. I have 2 cows and some chickens. I have, like, not... there's, like, 9 animals in the game. I have 2 of them. I don't even have nearly as many crops. My boy Pierre is telling me there's new variations coming out. I'm trying to build more tree saplings. I got a lot in the works. I'm trying to get to the bottom of the mine. It's a blast. The game is a true treat. I highly recommend it to anyone, honestly. At this point, I can't not... but besides that, I'm actually in the works on a new editorial.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about music and games today.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And I definitely think our next editorial might be the importance of score in video games.
Sure,
and
yeah.
Especially recently, because with The Last of Us 2 coming out.
It's been a really good year for music and games also.
And especially looking at next year, especially games like Last of Us 2.
Red Dead.
The sequels to games already have tremendous scores. I think we're starting to see... Because, like, honestly, video game scores, in my opinion, many of them are better than movie scores.
Yeah.
Like, there's some of them are incredible. And a part of me thought about this when I was playing Stardew Valley and listening to that music. And I bought the game when it came with the CD soundtrack. And I'm hoping not to, like, be like, oh, isn't music great? But really kind of discuss, like, the variations it is used in the games.
Yeah, how can it really evolve?
And how a story-driven game like Last of Us uses it differently than a game like Stardew Valley when you can play 15 years, hours on hours
on
end.
How it can help, like, the interactions you're making within the game, yeah.
So that's kind of what I have in the works. Besides that, I think Stardew Valley might be on hold for a bit, primarily because Christmas is coming.
Yeah.
Who knows what'll happen.
Exactly.
And I want to play before Christmas comes. I might try to burn through Wolfenstein 2.
Yeah, do it,
because I have Wolfenstein 2.
I want to talk to somebody about it.
So I might burn through Wolfenstein 2. We'll have actually an episode probably discussing the game in length. Actually, we'll probably discuss beyond that game. Discuss the game and, like, then maybe talk broadly about the series as well.
Yeah.
Kind of given that it is one of the greatest series in gaming, if you ask me.
Right,
honestly.
Now, yeah, it's my
you look
one
at
of my
you look
favorites.
At for the new Colossus, the new Order, even like the 2009 game made by Raven. I played that.
Yeah,
it was
me too.
It was a solid
it was
game.
Solid,
I enjoyed
yeah.
it. Return to Castle Wolfenstein, I've never played, but obviously it's considered a classic of the 2000s PS2 era.
Yeah.
And just go back to Wolfenstein 3D, like,
yeah.
And even before then, the ones on the Commodore. Like,
yep.
I think there's a lot we could
It did a lot. Like, even though the ones in the Commodore weren't exactly anything to, like, shake a stick at, it was still really cool, the fact that you had to do things.
They're considered,
yeah.
like, one of the first, I think,
yeah.
stealth games.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really... The fact that you could actually disguise yourself and you could, like, hide
yeah.
in things. It was really cool. Yeah, yeah.
So we'll think about that. But before then, we're actually hoping to do one of our Night Watches.
Yeah, sorry, the one that we did earlier.
We tried.
The file literally corrupted for some reason on my computer, and I tried to recover it, and I couldn't.
But we're thinking about doing one that's holiday theme oriented, kind of talking about holidays and video games, how they're not really too prominent.
Yeah.
But kind of talk about maybe our favorite games that use Christmas, our favorite games that maybe even introduce Hanukkah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of one.
Yeah.
I really am.
Or any other holiday.
Day, really, yeah, because it just really isn't something that's super prominent.
Yeah.
But if fans, like, if you have anything that comes to mind in the terms of, like, holiday shows, just let us know. I mean, holiday games, because we'd like to discuss and maybe take a peek and actually reveal it. So after the episode comes out, if you want to send some stuff our way, you know, you can contact us on the website. We have
We got WatchPod, WatchTowerPod. Wow, I can't even get that right. WatchTowerPod@gmail.com. WatchTowerPod@gmail.com.
If you go to watchpod.net,
we got comment section
can,
on there
you,
too.
Yep, and you can find our contact info there.
Yep, absolutely.
So, hey, we're all ears on that stuff. And we'd like to, you know, if we miss a few, hey, let us know.
Yeah.
Because right now, all I'm thinking for Christmas, the one game I think about that used Christmas was Batman Arkham Origins.
Yeah, and I remember.
And it's like the worst Arkham game.
Yeah, and like Dead Rising 4 was the only one I could think of.
I haven't played that though.
Neither have
That's
I.
That's the thing.
I just know it has it in it.
I know, yeah, it's pretty prominent in it too. But hey, so goes life.
Yes, it does.
But besides that, it's been another successful watch on our part, I feel like.
Yeah, good episode, I feel like. A lot covered a lot.
We burned through that news.
Yeah.
We like butter on toast, baby. Hopefully Disney buys us for $45 billion.
Yeah, oh my god, dude. I wouldn't have to go to college.
I know that nice.
$45 billion, you can do a lot with that between two people.
We would. We'd probably go all Elon Musk on people.
Exactly. Oh my god. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for watching. Make sure you check out the website. Check out the editorial. We got our contact info up on there. Make sure you subscribe and rate us on iTunes. We really appreciate it.
Much love.
Yeah. But for now, thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Adios.